Hey there. Welcome back to the After the Sermon podcast, this place where we discuss Sunday's sermon, the text there, and the lessons that we learned through it, and maybe get into some more details, some things we couldn't really dive into as deeply on Sunday, and just some reminders of just the application of God's Word to God's people. I am Pastor Ben, here with Pastor Matt.
Hey, guys.
And as I told my life group, we are in the greatest argument against the Bible is boring in our journey through the story of grace, which is the book of Judges.
Yeah. Man, what a great book. This is, you get Joshua, Judges, just, there's violence, lots of blood. It's just great storytelling. And then you switch to Ruth right away, just to level it out. You get a romance right afterwards.
Romance that starts
very dark.
Yeah, very dark.
Very dark. That's next week, or in a couple weeks.
But so yeah, so there's 12 judges. We can't talk about all of them,
no.
But we'll talk about two of them this past Sunday, talking about the story of Gideon, which for people who maybe even are unchurched or not familiar, that name might pop up as, oh, it's that little Bible that we see in the hotel rooms, the little orange Gideon Bible. I don't know how Gideon would have felt knowing that sort of a little bit of the legacy that's attached to his name.
I don't know. There's also an old magazine in my circle growing up called The Sword of the Lord. And they get it from this passage in Gideon, Sword of the Lord. And for Gideon, which is interesting when it's said there are no swords. So they go with the
trumpet. Right, that's the pots and the
torch and the pot that's covering it. And so, it's just chaos. So it's funny how you can just take a word and a phrase and make it your own. Never makes sense.
But like the sword of the Lord is really the Bible, and the spirit is a flame. And
Ephesians 6. If you started there, then okay. Then I get it. But when you start here, then I'm like, okay. All right. What can you do? What can you do?
But so the story of Gideon is lots of things. Two stories we're doing out of Judges are the most detailed accounts of the different judges. But so a lot of different things happen throughout Gideon's time as he is leading Israel.
Yeah, there's 12 judges that are mentioned in the book. And you get some details about their lives, or like Shamgar. Sounds like a commercial. If you get two Shamgar, if you buy one Shamgar, you get another Shamgar. ShamWow, just to bring that home for everybody listening. If he gets one verse and it's like he killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. But Gideon and Samson, you get three chapters. You get a lot of details. And so Gideon's life is not, it's not something to be excited about. Right away, we see him hiding. He's just dealing with some wheat in a wine press. I hope anyone's hide. There could be reasons why this, but he hides a lot in his story. And so he's a fearful individual. He's given this posture. He's a warrior. He takes a posture of weakness. And very similar to Moses in Exodus 1 through 3. His story is very similar of, I can't do this. And God works with him. So God calls these judges to go and deal with the people who have taken his people captive, and now he calls Gideon. Gideon doesn't want to do it. He's, I need a sign. God gives him a sign, gets dinner together, and God just evaporates dinner, and Gideon's like, your God, I will do what you said. I will go free and save the people of Israel. And the first command that God gives him is, I want you to go and knock over the altar of Baal. Baal is, I mentioned Sunday, it's the idol, the little g god that Israel just continues to go back to throughout the Old Testament. And so he goes, but he does that at night because he's scared. He's scared of what people think of him. He's scared of getting hurt and getting killed. And he does what God says, but it's mentioned that he's scared. Next day, everybody knows it's him. So word got around fast. And now he's afraid. His dad steps in and says, don't kill him. Baal contends for himself. Meaning, if Baal's got a problem with this, let Baal deal with it. Baal's a dead idol. He don't talk. He doesn't do anything. So Gideon gets a new name, Zerubbabel, and it basically means to contend against Baal. And so they're mocking this false god. Story continues on. They're going to go and take the army that had made them captive. And he gets over 30,000 men. And God says, it's too many people. We're going to do it my way. You don't need strength in numbers. You need strength, Jehovah. And God, over a long story short, God whittles that number down to 300. Before all that, Gideon is once again scared to go and do what he does. And so he says, all right, God, I'm going to do this. I need another sign. And so if I wake up in the morning and I'm going to put a fleece out. I'm going to put my jacket out. If there's dew on the jacket and on the fleece and nothing on the ground, then we'll be good to go. Gideon wakes up. God does exactly what Gideon asked. Gideon then says, okay, don't be mad at me, because he's testing the Lord, which is against the law, punishable by death. And he says, all right, if that wasn't big enough to have the fleece has dew on it, but the ground doesn't, he says, all right, I'm going to put the fleece out. I want the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet. God does it. So Gideon finally is, okay, that'll be it. If they go to war, he goes down and spies a little bit, hears a dream, believes in confidence and worships, and they deal with people in a miraculous way. But his story ends with taking over his, doesn't set the people up well to worship the Lord. It's said in chapter 8 that because of Gideon's actions and his family, Israel whored after this ephod Gideon had put together, whored after it. They treated it like a false god. It became a snare to Gideon. And so that's the end of his life, that he doesn't finish well. But his story is marked by faith, and it points to us to say, okay, how do we live a life of faith, knowing that we're not perfect? We sometimes walk away from God. We do so in confidence, not in ourselves, but in Jesus, who is strong, who is the one who ends the cycle of sin, and who works in our weakness to accomplish his purposes.
Yeah, the whole cycle that we see in Judges, we just see this continual abandonment by Israel of God. But as you had brought up, God is constantly working to destroy those idols, to get rid of that, replace them with himself, and show us that things that we're going after are not worth anything.
I think it's interesting how we approach our own sin, that we recognize something's bad. The greed, pride, bitterness, lust, and we just keep going. We recognize that those heart issues are bad. So what we do is we put an end to the greed. Like we tighten up our budget, we put these strategies in place, and we say no more greed. But what we often don't do is then replace it with generosity, which is from the Lord, right? And we don't replace it with God. And so we take these strategies and say we basically are about behavior modification rather than heart transformation. And so repentance is not just turning away from sin, but heading towards Christ-likeness. And Gideon, we see this, they tear down the altar of Baal and they build a new altar there. And what God wants to do is said, get rid of the idols. I want to destroy what's destroying you, but I want to replace it what brings you life. Only that life is found in God. And so what happens if we shut off these sins and we find ourselves like in victory for a little bit, what happens is it then shifts to another sinful issue. We're not replacing it with Jesus. We're actually just shifting deck chairs on the Titanic, so to speak. And so Gideon is showing us that it's not just getting rid of it, but seeing the joy of Jesus reigning as king of our lives.
When we see it, brought it up some in the sermon on Sunday, but the cycle of sin that we fight that Paul describes in Romans 6 and 7, as well as in 2 Corinthians, just this idea of we recognize that we're weak. We can see it, but yeah, if we don't plan to do anything about it, mm-hmm. other than maybe an attempt at just denial,
yeah,
we just fall back into that same pattern,
yeah.
over and over.
Yep. The book of Judges is not, as we joked, great storytelling, great. I always encourage middle school boys that are like, kind of read the book of Judges. It's fun. It's fun. But it's a picture for us. If we don't deal with our sin in Christ, we're just going to keep repeating the cycle over and over again.
The hope in that, as you brought the sermon to a close, though, is the idea that we are unfinished, but that doesn't make us a failure. Because if we could fix ourselves in our own power, in our own time, we wouldn't need God anyway.
That's where I put the picture of Mount Rushmore up there, before and after. It's a mountain. And so you put what it looks like today, and you look at what, you know, it cost about $1 million as opposed to 250,000. That's what they thought. Took 14-ish years as opposed to 5 to 10. They weren't just going to do the heads. They were going to do the whole, you could see the layout. Washington's coast. Jefferson was going to be to the right of Washington, but he moved to the left. And so you look at Mount Rushmore, don't see it. I mean, on paper, it's a failure. It's a failure. It's not finished. It's incomplete, but it's beautiful. And I think this is what God is doing. We're not finished, but we're not failures. We have Christ's victory as our victory. In Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will bring it to the day of completion. That's eternity, past, present, future, all in one verse. He who began a good work in you will bring it in. He will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Is our hope. Like, I'm not finished now. I will be. My sin will be removed, and Jesus, the good and righteous judge, will deal with sin completely. He won't let it come back. He'll put it to death. He's crushed the serpent's head.
The good news in Judges is that God doesn't just abandon his people to the cycle, which he easily could.
Yeah.
In the same way, he does not abandon us, even though we might abandon him.
Yeah.
Any other last thoughts about Gideon?
I just say his life may encourage us this way. Every one of us is dealing with an idol of some sort. Something that is competing with our love for God. And that is a wide range. It could be different person to person, but there's a lot of similarities. And I think there's two things I want to say. Based on a conversation I had with someone in our church this past week, is when you are fighting sin, go to the gospel and don't give up. And God has called us to pursue holiness, but not holiness in religiosity and by doing and just getting rid of stuff. No, we go to the gospel. We turn to Jesus and the power that Jesus has conquered sin and death for us. We don't have to conquer sin. It's done. We're living in that conquering, but it's not easy. And it's not something that happens overnight. And in a instant gratification culture, don't give up on fighting your sin. And if you need help in whatever you're navigating, whether it is greed, or pride, or bitterness, porn, all of which have been conversations I've had with Pat. We are here to help you be more like Jesus. We can't make you more like Jesus, but we want to come alongside of you and encourage you to pursue him. There's a verse, and we didn't really get into it, but I think it's really just impactful. Judges 8:4. Gideon came to the Jordan and crossed over, he and the 300 men who were with him. Exhausted, yet pursuing. And this is often how the Christian life feels. I'm exhausted, but I'm still pursuing Jesus. And I know that I will find my rest in him. So that's my encouragement to our church, is go to the gospel and don't give up. And trust the Lord to do what he said he will do in and through you.
And just as we all have our own sin struggles that are similar in that it is things against God, but each way we struggle with it is unique. Well, I think we'll see that same thing next week with Samson. Gideon hid and didn't trust God. Samson just barreled through, and we'll see a lot of similarities there. Again, two very different stories from a life experience and approach, but the end of the matter is just like Gideon couldn't perfectly lead the people. Neither can Samson.
Yeah.
But there is a powerful God still working through them.
Yeah.
In order to accomplish his purpose.
Yep. Was Samson the first son of Sam? That's a serial killer joke right there.
Yeah.
We're ending the podcast dark.
We're in Judges.
We are in Judges.
It's official.
It is. It is. You don't judge me.
So with that uplifting note, we will look forward to seeing you in life groups this week. As always, if you've never attended one, no better time to join than the present. We're going to be talking about what we were just talking about, the story of Gideon. So
you'd be a serial life group attender.
And depending on the menu for the night, there could be cereal at your life group.
Could be.
Could do breakfast for dinner, which maybe now everyone will be inspired.
Yeah.
But either way, don't ever hesitate to reach out if you need anything. And whether it's at life groups or next Sunday, we'll look forward to seeing you again. God bless.